Thank you. I'm glad I'm here today. A couple of things. We've got a bunch of health indicators. We've got the UML models written. I think you're going to like some of the stuff I'm going to talk about today. A little background real quick. We've developed this in the OASIS, Organization for the Advancement of Structured Information Standards, which is an international standards organization. But we kind of jumped the gun, and before we finalized the specification, we took it to ISO 215 in Sweden in June, and they've adopted it as a work group item. So this thing is actually moving forward into ISO 215 and making some progress. The nice thing about this standard is we developed it with we had in mind as we did it, that this indicator will work for any regional population. That could be almost down to the block, or as large as an entire country. And we've developed several dimensions which I don't think are normally and have never previously been used in the development of health indicators, such as health status and non-medical determinants of health. I know the WHO also has a social determinants of health commission that just talks about things like education and happiness and all of these kind of things and how they affect healthcare. We've accounted for that in this specification. And why it's different than what you're used to is it's actually designed to allocate public health resources. That's what we're thinking is, how do you compare? Can anybody in this audience say, who's healthier, St. Louis or Kansas City residents? How about London or New York? We don't know that. This gives us something to work off of. So when we're allocating public health resources, we can look and say, this is how these guys do, this is how these guys do, this is where they're weak, this is where they're strong, this is where we can allocate some resources to help them. So the significance is to develop a standard measure of health indicators for, like I said, a community, a county, a state, a country, and that it's all objective. It's standardized, it's portable, and it's usable for resource allocation. We've developed UML models. So we're actually developing, and you know, there'll be some modifications. For example, I think HITSBI is using slightly different, I know for sure they're using different sex models than we are, but you know, you can change them. This one's got a few words in it. The words I want to point out, of course, is that it's a common measurement for health status of any kind of any size of a community. So therefore, we can allocate the resources as necessary. Governments can use this, NGOs, almost anybody that's concerned with improving healthcare or allocating resources. By the way, you know, I was going to start with this. You know, there's two things I know about speaking. One is you try not to do it after lunch. And second, if John Lunsk is across the hall, it's kind of tough too. But I talked to John before the thing, and I told him to send everybody over here when he was done, because he's like overflowing over there. Does anybody know what this is? Just to break the pace. You know, it is after lunch and we got to keep everybody awake. I know one person knows who it is because I checked with him to be sure that it wasn't something different than I thought. That's good health. That's the Chinese symbol for good health. These are the dimensions that we've got built into the standards right now. First one is health status. And I'll get into these a little deeper. I'll even show you the UML models. They're hard to read. I even got the attributes in them. They're kind of tiny. But of course, you can request this from me later or see it on the web. The non-medical determinants of health, the health system performance, and the community and healthcare or health systems characteristics. This is the UML for the general dimension relationships. And you can see that what we've done is, anybody who's familiar with the UML model, what we've got here is that the health system performance influences health status. Health status influences the community and health systems characteristics, which also influences the health status. And so, you know, you can read it for yourself. Community and health systems characteristics influence non-medical determinants of health, et cetera, et cetera. These get a lot more complicated. This is the highest level UML for this standard or this specification. So first, let's talk real quick about health status. By the way, when we get to questions and answers, I'm going to be writing fast and furious because I'm sure there's things that are missing from here. So if there's something that you see that's glaringly not in here, please shout it out because we want to know. We want to build this out. We want to take this further. On health status, we determine well-being to be one of those measures. And as you can see, broad measures of physical, mental, and social well-being of individuals. Now, when you look at the UML model later, you'll see the different things that we've identified as part of well-being. Same thing with health conditions, alterations or attributes of the health status of an individual, which may lead to distress, interference with daily activities or contact with health services. Could be diseases, chronic or acute, disorders, injuries, traumas, other health related issues such as pregnancy, aging, stress, congenital anomalies, or genetic predispositions. Sounds tough, but when you see the UML model, you might go, oh, gee, you know. The good news is, how many out there are researchers? If you get this, if you download this spec later, you'll find 50 research projects that you'll be able to do just to try to figure out what each of these things should be weighted at eventually in the future, how important they are to the health status, et cetera. Also in health status, human function. Level of human functions as a consequence of disease, disorder, injury, and other health conditions, body function, impairments, activities, participation, and death. And of course, the worst slide of the whole deck is, unfortunately, everything here leads to death. That's just the state of life, right? Okay, well, I thought I'd get a joke out of that somewhere. Gosh, you guys. It's sad, but that's where it all goes. So when I'm talking about the UML model and the attributes of the model, you can see here, for example, in well-being, nutrition in that community. How many calories do they get? What kind of calories do they get? Nutritional issues. Economics. Satisfaction of the people. How are we going to measure that? Somebody at some point might, you know, have some really nice research projects, if they're not already being done, to measure satisfaction. Comfort, happiness, self-esteem. Over here you can see, you know, diagnosis, manifestation, sites, etiologies of health conditions, disabilities, impairments. And you can even see we've got, you know, a long integer strings, et cetera, et cetera. The non-medical determinants of health that's in this specification, health behavior, aspects of personal behavior and risk factors that epidemiological studies have shown to influence health status. This could be your things like your AIDS or not getting your immunizations or et cetera, et cetera. Socioeconomic factors related to characteristics of the population that studies have shown to be related to health, and social and community factors, prevalence of social and community factors such as the social support system. The community, how stressed people are, what kind of social capital exists in the community. Also, what epidemiological studies have shown to be related to health. Environmental factors, level of pollution, clean water, et cetera, that's part of the environment. And genetic factors, is there a genetic predisposition to certain diseases in a community? Or, you know, every now and then we hear about these communities that have predispositions to better health. It doesn't have to just be worse health. I'd still like to know what they got going on in Jamaica that's making them all so fast these days. Here's the UML model. Like I said, it's hard to read and it's not really that important right at this moment. You can see this when you look at the slides later, but you can see some of the things, for example, health behavior, tobacco use, alcohol use, seat belts, caffeine, exercise, firearm safety, fire safety. That list probably could grow as this thing evolves over in the future. But all important and measurable, I might point out, measurable factors. The health system performance, acceptability. You know, is it recognizing that there's no competing interest between stakeholders, et cetera? Appropriate. The ability of clients slash patients to obtain care and services, appropriate care and services for what it is that they need. Competence in individuals' knowledge and skills, are they appropriate for the care service being provided? Continuity, do we have the ability to coordinate services over the long term so that if we've got chronic conditions, we've coordinated the care? Effectiveness. Intervention or action to achieve desired results. Efficacy, achieving desired results with the most cost-effective of resources, so efficiency, effectiveness. And safety, potential risks of an intervention or the environment or avoided or minimized. We've also got security, which of course is big for us. safety and integrity of confidential information within the clinical environment. Communications, do we have communications so we can coordinate care and work together? And accessibility, that we can achieve timely access to healthcare, a right place, right time kind of issues. Obviously, this is a long and complex UML, but you can see security leads to performance. Performance leads to appropriateness, effectiveness, et cetera, et cetera. You can study that as much as you'd like, but it gets a little, this is the most complicated, obviously. Community and health systems. Is that the universal kind of community health thing? The little people holding hands, it seems like it is. Resources, contextual information about financial, physical, human, or other types of resources available in the community. Information about the characteristics of the population. Information about the configuration, organization, sustainability of the healthcare system and the public health system. This one's not quite as bad. UML's a little easier here. But you can see we've tried to capture a lot of things that we think are important. The health system, accreditations, levels of accreditations, durations of accreditations, stability of the services, maximum level of care provided by specialty, patient volumes, by order, setting, demographics, sources of funding. Down, for example, in resource, density of physicians. How many physicians do we have in this particular community, country, whatever? What specialties? What locations? You know, if we've got all the physicians in the big city and nobody out in the country, that affects the status, the health status of the population in the country overall. Levels of expenditures on research, number of units used, cost per unit, population, you know, average salaries, salary ranges, cost of care, ethnicity. So we believe, and this is one of the reasons we developed this, and we're working on this with ISO, is that this is an appropriate next step for global public health. We don't know where to send resources unless we have some objective measure. Like I said, we don't know where to send resources and how many resources to send to Kansas City versus the other city I said. What did I say? Kansas City? St. Louis. We don't know. And we don't know if we need to invest in education. We don't know if we need to invest in immunization, build more hospitals, train more physicians, or recruit more physicians into that community. It's an unknown at this point in time. We have some guesses, and we have a lot of talented people who operate on intuition, and they feel like they know that stuff, but it's a complicated subject. We believe this is appropriate in the third world as the first world. Now, of course, there are issues of can we get the data. Some people may not give how many physicians they have, et cetera, et cetera. Either strategically, they don't know, or they just don't want to report it because they're not happy with the way they may look. But assuming that the data can be gathered, it can work across the board. Health informatics then can contribute to the global health community. No longer are we guesstimating or using rules of thumb. We've actually got a measurable, objective way to look at health indicators and how healthy a community might be. And empowering people through information. And guess what? I'm done quick because I figured we'd be further behind than this because going last, you're always the last one. Yes?
I'm just curious, and maybe I'm confused, but I'm just curious, like how do you get this market? Has it been tested outside the United States?
It has not.
Second is, you know, indicators are disease specific at many times, unless you focus on specific diseases, then you can develop indicators. But if you take health as a very broad idea, then developing indicators is very key.
Yes. Well, the nice thing with this model is it is something that's, we can objectively measure it in a computer. That's the good part. The questions you raise are absolutely right. are all the determinants here? Can we decide that clean water is this much more important than education? And we'll probably argue about that forever. And that's where we're going to have a lot of these research questions is, you know, just how much more important is one indicator than another indicator? And is this a complete list? So you're absolutely right. This is certainly not done. I would like to do that.
In other words, you know, putting some of these to test, because I'm really curious about the underpinnings of many assessment tools or models. Mm-hmm. That's what drives the eventual end product. If we keep that as a secret, then nothing else would be understood. And I think many times we talk at the high level theory for constraints. We need to get to the tool sets.
Sure.
So while I appreciate very much what you demonstrated as a process, I would really like to be curious whether down one disease and one that's the test of this.
Yeah.
So just that on.
Oh, I think you've got a great idea there. I think I'm going to, that sounds like a great thing, is taking the report and matching it up against it and seeing what we come up with. Excellent idea. Yeah. I was just going to ask, is there a way to actually get the data down instead of just the report? Wonderful. Your name is? Great, wonderful. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I can, if anybody wants it, give me your card. What I can show you is there's obviously the attributes go a lot deeper, and I've got tables that explain, for example, the specification says, you know, X, XY, YY, you know, all that, that's how it defines sex and how it defines clean water. Are they the right definitions? Probably not when you put it up against a panel, but exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I had said, you know, if there's any researchers in here, you could probably do, a big project just saying, you know, how, if you're looking at these indicators, how do you decide how to weight these things? That's, you know, that's the big problem. This compared to that question, this is probably relatively easy. Yeah. Now, it's great points. You know, I've been fortunate enough to travel around the world myself, and I know that it's not the same everywhere. And that's, there's going to be some big challenges here. But, you know, they're interesting challenges, especially for people who are interested in those questions. In the back. Yes, and we have some of that in here, not all of it. But I think if you've got premature death, and you had also talked, I guess you're talking also about economics, is the lost revenue, the lost dollars. We talked last night about in the 50s, the way the British said, oh, you know, smoking kills people earlier, and therefore we don't have to pay for their health as long. Those kind of questions. Trying to answer this appropriately, but some of those are in there, but some of them aren't, and I think they aren't because premature death is influenced by these indicators. But do you know why they died prematurely is the question. Sure, but do you know why the community's not healthy is what this, some of this is trying to wring out. I may be missing your question, but the point is, if someone dies prematurely, and we say we have more premature deaths in this community than that community, we can say that this community is sicker, but not necessarily. There may be genetic predispositions, and there may be different reasons why they die prematurely. Yeah. Well, okay. You can certainly come and contribute and work on this with us. I value the input, and I hear what you're saying. So, any other questions? Well, we do have the, one of the things in there was the age of death. And so if we're comparing two or three communities with different age of death, now we want to say why, and now we're migrating upstream to say, you know, it's this, and it's a cheap, this in this particular problem with this particular community, there's a cheap fix. I would argue, you know, education is a long-term expensive fix compared to cleaning up the water, for example. As we go upstream to say why is there a difference here, then potentially we can find the best solutions for different communities. But outstanding question. Thank you.